Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and we're going through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans 8, verses 23 to 25. But before we tackle this, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word gives us hope in a time of despair. We thank you that your word is sure and that your word is strong. And as our nation faces a crisis, many other crises as well, piled one on top of the other, we ask that your words of comfort and grace will leap straight from the scriptures and into our hearts. Make your word living and alive today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here I am, Romans 8, 23 to 25. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Now, Paul is talking about the Christian hope of the resurrection. And this is the hope above all hopes. Of course, we can hope for a good job, hope for a good wife, hope for nice kids, and hope for graduation from a degree. These are our human hopes. They're good, they're proper, they're part of life. But beyond all of those hopes, the hope for good health, the hope for prosperity, there is the greater hope of our adoption as sons of God, the hope of eternal life, the hope that we will be raised from the dead and given glorious new eternal bodies, so that all the difficulties we go through in this life end up not mattering at all, because God has redeemed us. And in the rest of eternity, the problems we're going through now with COVID-19 virus, with falls on the stock market, with losses of jobs, with all the other things that we're going through at this time as I'm recording, it takes a couple of weeks to get out to you. But as we're looking at this in the middle of March 2020, we are looking at a hopeless situation in America. We could say the outlook is hopeless, the political situation, the financial situation, the stock market situation, so on and so forth. Everything has been affected by this tiny little virus, and it seems to have made everything bleak. All the good events have been cancelled. The sporting events have been cancelled. This and that have been cancelled. And over again, we're looking at a situation that seems to grow darker and bleaker with every day. But God has a hope on which we can fix our hearts, a hope that is not going to go away, the hope of eternal life. And it says that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We know we have eternal life because the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart, and God dwells in our heart, and we know that the Spirit of Christ is within us, and we know that our life has been changed. We know that we've been born again. We know that we've gone from death to life. We know that we've gone from darkness to light. And that assurance that we have gone from darkness to light, that the person we once were is no more, and we have a new creation within us through God, that is the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our minds. And that is the first fruits of the Spirit. That's the first few little apples off the tree. That's the first few buds on the grapevine. This is the first fruits that we know of. And there's a lot more to come. There's a lot more to come in the great harvest of the Lord. And we are looking forward to great and glorious things, things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man. And we're assured of that because of the first fruits of the harvest. We have tasted of the goodness of the Lord. You and I, who are born again, Bible-believing Christians, know the goodness of the Lord in our heart and our mind. And we are assured that God loves us, and that God has sent his Son to die for us, and with him he will also give us all things. And so we know those things, and we know that whatever happens in this life, whether it's war or famine or plague or death or persecution or all sorts of things that come against us as believers, all the circumstances and trials of this life, God is still there. We are still born again. We still have the Holy Ghost. And if we should pass away, we shall go to heaven, and we have eternal life with Jesus Christ as one of the saints of God in his heavenly realm. And then one day we will hear the great trumpet call of God, and our bodies shall be raised, and we shall have a spiritual body, imperishable, undefiled, suitable for heavenly living, suitable for eternal living. For this body of mine, it's 63, it's old, it's aging, it's creaking, it's groaning. But the eternal body, the resurrection body that I will receive, that body is an eternal body, that body is a spiritual body. Just as I have had an earthly body, so I will have a spiritual body, and so will you if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And God is going to make you imperishable and undefiled. You will have a great reward in the heavenly realms if you've been obedient to Jesus Christ through this life by faith. For now we walk by faith, and then we shall see God face to face, and we'll be known even as we are known. So this is the great theme here. We groan, we wait for the redemption of our bodies and for our adoption as sons. Yes, by faith we are now sons of Abraham and sons of the living God. But the full adoption, the full realization of our sonship, the full revealing of the sons of God is yet to come. And we have seen that. And we've seen that in the last couple of little studies in this series on Romans 8. The whole of creation waits and groans for you and I to come into our sonship, to come into our redemption, to come into the fullness of our resurrection bodies. And this is a great and glorious thing. This is something that should cheer our hearts up. And you say, Pastor John, how is that practical? How does that apply? I can't even put gas in my car today. I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm running around trying to get hand sanitizer or toilet paper or to keep my kids from getting sick or keep my aged parents from getting sick. How can your God help me now? Or is it all just going to happen when I die or when Jesus returns? Of course God can help you now. That is why he gives you the ability to pray and to cast yourself upon him. There's always grace and help in time of need. We find that in Hebrews 4:14-16. But it wouldn't be much use helping us now if he wasn't going to help us in the future. It wouldn't be much use helping us now if he didn't rescue us from hell. It wouldn't be much use helping us now if he didn't give us a sonship and an inheritance in heaven. If our life was just for now, we're of all people most to be pitied. Yes, God will help you now, but all that help would be for nothing if you died and went to hell. Jesus has come to get you out of hell and put you in heaven, to give you eternal life, to give you glory, to give you an inheritance that never fades away. That's why Jesus has come. Yes, he heals the sick. Yes, he raises the dead. Yes, he provides for those who have nothing. Yes, Jesus does help us in this life. But more than that, he takes away our sin. He takes away the things that's crushing us. He gives us God's forgiveness and pours out God's blessing on us. So we have hope. The future is not bleak. We're not just driving off a cliff in a Rolls Royce. And that's what the prosperity gospel teaches you. It teaches you to value the Rolls Royce, and it never tells you about the cliff. And people remain in their sins, and they're begging God for this and that, and think brighter and shinier things, and they're just driving their Rolls Royce, they're driving their prosperity off the cliff of sin and hell and judgment, and they plunge down into the lake of fire because their greed has been so great that they have forgotten about the things of God. Don't be like that. Focus on the eternal hope of Christ within you, the hope of glory. Focus on what God's got for you in heaven, and then you'll be of some earthly use because you'll be preaching the gospel to people and getting them saved and out of their sins and helping them to be holy and encouraging them to walk in Jesus and have the Spirit of Christ in their heart and in their life and in their mind. So this is the hope we're looking at. Let's go back to your verses. And not only this, but we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, the glory of the Holy Spirit within us, even ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? You see, hope's the product of the Holy Spirit in you. You're restless. You're hoping. You're clinging to God. You're seeking the face of God, and you're hoping, and you're hoping, and you're hoping. But why do you hope for what you see? Spiritual hope is not for dollars in the bank. Spiritual hope is not for being prettier or smarter than the next person. Spiritual hope is hope in God, hope in who God is and what God will do for you. And so it's a hope that has yet to be realized and will be realized when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and get our reward. So we hope against hope. We press in to God at all times, and the hope the Holy Spirit puts in your heart drives you forward into the holy things. The hope you have in your heart drives you to the Bible, drives you to prayer, drives you to church, because you know that something's happening in you. You know that you're being prepared for eternity. You know when you hear that sermon or listen to this broadcast, that something's changing in you and you're being prepared for a life you haven't got now. A life that's outside of the dimensions of space and time. A life in another universe called heaven, where you will worship God and you'll be with the angels and you'll be with the spirits of just men made perfect. And that hope is yet to be realized. You do not realize at the moment that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, but you are. And you hope for the realization of that. You hope for your spiritual self, Christ in you, to be made manifest. And the whole creation to be redeemed out of its sin and out of its futility and out of its diseases and out of its sickness and out of all the things the fall has done to us. And you hope for that, and you can't really explain it, just that you're restless. You know that you're just passing through this world, that you're not suited for this time and this place and this hour. There's more to life than you can possibly grab. Even if you had arms 8 feet wide and you grabbed everything you could get off the shelves of life, if you grabbed houses and cars and jets and planes and everything like that, you still wouldn't be satisfied because you're hoping for something more than that. You're hoping for the spiritual. You're hoping for the love of God. You're hoping for that spiritual connection that sets you alive so that you become a truly alive saint of God, full of the good things of God that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man. You're hoping to be like Jesus. You want to be someone you're not now, and that's someone you want to be like as Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit puts that hope in your heart that one day when Jesus comes back, you're going to be like him. You're not going to be full of sin. You're not going to be full of anxiety or depression. You're not going to have a mental illness. You're not going to have a physical illness. You're going to be redeemed and you're going to stand before God in glory without any of your sins or your complexes or your problems. You will have no more pain in your life, but instead you'll be a spiritual being of great glory, a son or daughter of the living God. And this matters. So your hope matters. So put your hope where it counts. And it says, but if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. You have to persevere as a Christian, knowing that it's coming, that that day is coming when the Lord shall return. That day is coming when you will rise from the dead. That day is coming when you will have a resurrection body. That day is coming when you will have a great eternal reward. That day is coming when you will be known perfectly in every part of your being and loved perfectly in every part of your being. And the glory of God will be around you and the fellowships of the saints will be in you and beside you. And you will know that you have been loved since the foundation of the world and your name was written in the book of life and God redeemed you according to his plan. And that is the great hope. You can trust God. He's always been there. He created the universe. He created you. He's got a plan. You've got a future. You've got a hope. And that's all in Jesus. So you need to hang on. You need to persevere. Don't give up even if the world looks crazy. Don't give up right now. Don't let the circumstances of this time crush you. Instead, pray to God and trust yourself to him. This is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments. God bless you in every way.